Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk.
Welcome into Coffee Break. I'm Troy Shockley. Thanks for joining us this chilly, chilly Thanksgiving week morning. And kicking us off today, we've got some folks from St. Pete's here. And starting on the phone today, we've got Jamie Larice. We're going to be talking eating healthy during the holiday season. Jamie, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
You know what? I'm doing okay. It's a little bit cold, but I guess it's that time of year now, right?
It just means the holidays are right around the corner.
Right. But I'm worried about, you know, I'm okay here, but they're talking over on the East Coast, like they're not going to be able to fly those, the giant balloons in the parade. And that has me quite concerned.
Oh, no, that would be kind of a bummer, wouldn't it?
I know. They're saying the first time since, I think it was 1971 is the last time that they haven't been able to fly those. And they're thinking the winds might be high enough that they're going to be grounded.
Oh, my goodness. Well, fingers crossed.
I guess we've still got the dog show, right?
Yeah, that's true. Good point.
So, Jamie, you're a registered dietitian. Can you tell us what that means?
Yeah, so what I am is a credentialed nutritionist. A registered dietitian goes through schooling to make sure that we understand the body and chemistry and biology. And then our curriculum can then send us into various positions, working for a hospital, working for a public health system, working in food service. But primarily what we are just nutrition experts.
So what is your background? I mean, how is that something that you get into?
Well, I grew up in a family that really revered good food. Both my parents are foreign, so we always had really good food around the house. And in college, when I wasn't eating so well in my undergraduate, I was able to really discern that what I was putting in my mouth was really determining how I felt. And so when I was thinking about a career and what I wanted to do with my life, I always found myself talking about cooking and teaching people things. And I found I was picking up books and magazines that always had to do with food and nutrition. And so I thought, geez, I should probably make a career out of this. So I went back to grad school and went through all the schooling and obtained my dietitian degree and have been teaching people about food and nutrition ever since.
So how long have you then been at St. Pete's?
St. Pete's, I've only been here a little over 3 years, but I've been a dietitian since 2010.
Okay, so how did you end up here?
You know, I went to school in Missoula, go Grizz, and there happened to be a job that popped up in Helena. I had never thought about Helena, but a job popped up in the wellness department at St. Peter's, doing more than just food and nutrition, but really more wellness promotion, which, of course, food and nutrition is a foundation for. And I thought, geez, that sounds perfect for me.
So then what does your day look like at St. Peter's? What's your role end up being there?
So what I do is I don't necessarily do direct patient-to-patient referrals like our clinical nutritionist, but what I do is develop wellness programming and then take it out around the community. We have internal programs for our own employees, but then I also am contacted by various places like Mark's Lumber or the Aeronautics Division at the state to come and actually give nutrition talks about various subjects, eating healthy, you know, on a budget, or how to eat during the holidays, or how to eat for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, pretty much anything to do with food and nutrition they want to know, I'll come in and do a presentation for them.
So that's what we are going to chat about this morning. I mean, it's holidays, and I guess we all sort of let ourselves have that extra piece of pie, but sometimes that indulgence isn't just Thanksgiving or Christmas. We sort of fall into it's cold outside and let's grab the nearest comfort food, right?
Right, right. It's very normal. And I think what we need to do is, one, give ourselves a break. I think most certainly during the holidays, we can give ourselves a little bit of lax. Understanding that once the holidays are over, perhaps making a plan to say, okay, I know I've overindulged. Perhaps it's time to take a break from alcohol, or it's time to take a break from sugar, whatever that may be. But usually during about Thanksgiving and Christmas is the time to not spend too much time worrying about it, because it can be a lot more painful. But there are some things you can do throughout the holidays to make sure that you're not feeling so super guilty, and that hopefully by January, you're ready to to actually detox, if you will, take a break.
So how do you find that line? I mean, how do you, because you don't want to, just like you said, I mean, it can be stressful. It can be a lot of things if we're very concerned about what we're eating and there's some guilt involved. How do you find that line where you don't want to overindulge, but it's okay every now and then to treat yourself?
Right. I think one of the most important things is really developing the philosophy that it's never about one food or one night or I ate too much. It's really about what is your overall pattern of eating. So throughout the holidays, you know, making choices that at least you can say, you know, I'm buying a little bit more fruit. Clementines are in season right now. I've always got clementines at my desk or at home. So even though we're baking cookies, there's other foods around. But really thinking about what is my overall pattern of eating, because I think what happens when we feel guilty is we fixate on that one time we had too much pie or oops, I ate 4 cookies at that work party. And really we want to think about, are you doing that every day? Because if you're not doing that every day, it's not a pattern. But if it starts to become a pattern, that's when you really need to say, okay, is this pattern going to continue after the holidays are done? Otherwise, I'm just going to know it's the holidays and I know that I'm going to set myself straight after New Year's.
So a little bit of this is being intentional too, right? And not just sort of, well, just eat this and that and this and that. I mean, it's got to be a little bit, you know what? I know what I'm doing right now and I know I'm going to sort of right the ship, so to speak, here in a couple of weeks.
Exactly. And also thinking about your day. If you know a work party is coming up or you know that you're going to several holiday parties, either for your work or with your friends, you think about that earlier in the day. So for instance, you know you're going to a big party at 5 p.m. Well, perhaps that day you eat just a little bit less. You have just a piece of fruit or you have a couple boiled eggs for breakfast. You mindfully think about your day so that when you're actually at that holiday party, you can give yourself a little bit of a break.
So what are a few things before we let you go that you can sort of, I mean, we've been talking holiday, but you can fall into a little bit of a rut. And so this can impact us during the year too. I mean, are there some tips that can sort of just help us be smarter about what we're eating?
Sure. I think the number one tip I always have for people, regardless of what their day or their week or their month is going to be during the holidays, is start your day right. So if there's one thing that you can do and you know that you can check that box, start your day right. Usually when we start our day right, meaning we have a healthful breakfast or we're making sure that we're exercising in the morning, oftentimes when we start our day right, it can actually lead to better decisions throughout the day. So that would be my number one advice. Start your day right. Number two, be mindful. If there was one piece of advice I would give, make sure that you're eating fruits and vegetables every day. So even though you have pie and you have work parties and you have all this stuff, make sure that every single day you can say, you know what? I had a piece or two of fruit. Fabulous. Or whatever plate you're making for dinner, whether it be Thanksgiving dinner or holiday parties, is half of my plate vegetables. If you can start your day right and then at least have those, you can then go into the new year and say, at least I know I'm doing that. Now maybe I can back off sugar or back off alcohol.
Okay, so on Thanksgiving, I just eat a very light breakfast and then I make sure I get all that stuffing because there are vegetables. I mean, there's celery, there's onions in there. That counts, right, Jamie?
Yep, it totally does count. I think Thanksgiving is a wash for everybody, but like I said, start your day right. Eat a piece of fruit or two, and then make sure half your plate at Thanksgiving dinner is vegetables, and I think you'll be just fine.
Okay. Jamie gave me permission to have a whole plate full of stuffing because there's vegetables there. Jamie, thanks for joining us. I sure appreciate it.
I appreciate it, too. Have a great holiday.
Yeah, you too.
Okay, bye.
Stick around. There's more with our friends from St. Peter's coming up right after this. I just wanted to step away from the show for a few seconds to tell you that if you miss an episode, you can always catch up. We're on iTunes, so find our show there or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Local and area events, city, state, and national officials, your neighbors doing incredible things. We talk to them all on Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk.
In today's always-on world, your business demands a simpler approach to network security. At Blackfoot Communications, we deliver state-of-the-art security solutions, from the perimeter to endpoint devices and remote data backup, for businesses across Montana. Ensure your company's network is online all the time. For more information, visit goblackfoot.com/security.
And welcome back in. This is Coffee Break. I am Troy Shockley. Thanks for sticking with us this morning. We're continuing our visit with the folks from St. Peter's today. Normally we have them in on, I think it's the last Thursday of the month, but well, the last Thursday of the month is Thanksgiving, and nobody wanted to come in on Thanksgiving. So we're doing it a day early, and we're back in the studio now. We've got the director of hospice out at St. Peter's, Katie Barbie, is here. We've also got Bennett McIntyre. He's part of the furniture here. On Coffee Break now. We've got the chair in the corner. We got Bennett. He was saying he wants the jacket. I don't know how many times you have to come in. I guess I do have the jacket.
If you keep getting invited back, it's usually a good thing, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
It means we haven't chased you away yet.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think Katie invited you. I didn't invite you in, but Katie said you're coming, and I was like, well, you know, he's...
Yeah, definitely. It's Saturday Night Live. It's 5 episodes. So this is technically my 4th, so I expect...
Okay, so you've got another one to go.
A gift from the radio station.
Yeah.
Now, next one.
I'll give you 2 red mugs next time.
Still good coffee, by the way.
Bennett is the project manager from the St. Peter's Health Foundation. And guys, I do appreciate it. I mean, it's right ahead of the holiday weekend, so I do appreciate you coming in today. Any holiday plans for you guys?
Keeping it small at home.
Just hanging out?
Yep, with the family.
Watching the dog show?
Sure. Yes. That sounds interesting.
I will be doing my Black Friday shopping in Great Falls this year as we're going over there for the turkey. So a bunch of relatives, family. Should be pretty fun.
Rooting for the Cowboys?
You got to go Lions on the traditional Thanksgiving Day, and then you always cheer against the Cowboys, I think is how that works.
I'm used to it. Katie, because Bennett is... Well, he doesn't like the Cowboys. We're going to start with you. Can you kind of introduce yourself to listeners? Just let them know what it is you do out there at St. Pete's.
Sure. Currently, I'm the director of Home Health, Hospice, and Palliative Care, and I oversee those 3 programs. Hospice truly has my heart. I started at St. Pete's 8.5 years ago as a hospice nurse and kind of worked my way up, and I just have a passion for the work.
Was that job one, day one at St. Pete's, or did you come from somewhere else in a different field and find yourself in hospice?
I was a nurse prior to coming to St. Pete's, but I moved up here from New Mexico. 8.5 years ago, and so started right away with hospice.
From the land of enchantment to Big Sky Country.
Yes.
So how did you end up? I mean, that's a big move. How'd you end up here?
Oh, we needed change, wanted something different, and we're fortunate enough to move to Helena. It's a lovely community. I learned a lot as a hospice nurse, going to people's homes and, you know, visiting with people and learning the history of Helena and Montana.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Well, and we've talked about hospice a few times here on the show in the last year or so with different folks. But for those that maybe have missed one of those shows, can you explain just kind of what hospice is in general and then what it looks like at St. Peter's?
Sure. So hospice really is a whole person approach to care when somebody is at end of life. Generally, end of life, meaning when somebody can come on to hospice, is a terminal diagnosis of less than 6 months. But a lot of times hospice, once we're involved with a patient and family, can help improve their quality of life. So our focus is on the whole person, not just medications and things like that. We focus on their psychosocial well-being, spiritual needs, and their family. So we take all of that into consideration and really focus on providing people good quality of life at the end of their life.
Yeah. So when, and I think you said it there, when people generally need hospice care, that's when there is that terminal diagnosis, right? That's sort of step one.
Yes. And that's usually made in conjunction with somebody's primary care physician or provider. And just having early referrals, honestly, is better, because then hospice can really wrap the family, patient and family up and provide all the services and be... you know, really get to know that patient and know what they want and just provide all the support they need during that time.
And something that I've chatted about before with folks from a hospice is they wanted to point out, and I think probably valuable and something that you care about too, is folks entering hospice, it doesn't mean you're giving up. It doesn't mean that, you know, I'm done. Here's
correct.
The towel.
Correct. Yeah. And it's not. And a lot of times people start feeling better when we get there. You know, we can really, we look at medications in more depth and is this really needed now? Are there things that, you know, we don't want to, we don't just come in and stop medications and this is it. And, you know, we are really there individually looking at everything that could help make somebody feel better or providing medications that they haven't thought about that would help them feel better to enjoy their life.
Yeah. So this is, I mean, ultimately this is improving the quality of remaining life, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, a lot of people don't want to be going back to the hospital when they're having symptoms that they may be dealing with a disease process. And so our goal is to help keep people wherever home is. So home could be in their actual place of residence, or if it's at an assisted living facility or a skilled nursing facility, hospice can provide care in any of those environments.
And medical care is still available once you're
absolutely.
In hospice.
Absolutely. Yep. Yep. And we work closely with their primary care doctor or with our medical director to ensure that they're getting the care they need.
Yeah. We're chatting this morning with Katie Barbie. She's the director of hospice out at St. Peter's Health. Bennett McIntyre's also here, but he gets to talk on the show very often. So we're making him wait until the second half of our segment here. Katie, what does hospice do for the individual? What does it do for the family? I mean, we sort of know what it is, mm-hmm. right? But in practice, what actually happens?
Well, so there's a number of services that we offer. A nurse is the primary nurse case manager, and the nurse is available 24 hours, 7 days a week. So if things come up in the middle of the night, there's always somebody to call and ask questions to. So I think that's a big relief for patients and families to be able to call and contact somebody when they have questions. We provide a social worker to help maybe with finances or psychosocial needs for the patient or the family, chaplain services for spiritual support. We have volunteers that can go in and provide respite support or companionship with patients. We have home health aides that come in and help with bathing. We provide equipment, so hospital beds, wheelchairs, walkers, you name it. We can get it out there for patients to make sure that they're comfortable in their home and safe. And then medications are covered. And hospice is covered under the Medicare benefit 100%. And most insurances also cover hospice at 100%. And at St. Peter's, we're the only nonprofit hospice in Helena. And so if people don't have the ability to pay, we still will provide care for those patients.
Yeah, well, and there's an awful lot, obviously, of care and focus on the individual here. But this is a wider net than just that one person, right? I mean, the family is certainly involved as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, hospice doesn't provide 24-hour care. So patients still need to have 24-hour care in place. And a lot of times that is provided by family members or, again, at an assisted living or skilled nursing facility. So we're supplemental. And when people are at home or assisted living or skilled nursing facility, we do provide a lot of support, emotional support for family members and education during that time while they're watching a loved one go through the end of life process, which can be difficult to watch and see, especially if you've never seen that before.
Yeah, well, I mean, and there's so much to think about, so much to do. And sometimes I guess you're not in the mindset to either think of it or to want to think about it and deal with it. I mean, to have sort of that support of the hospice staff has got to be huge.
It is. And I think that's, you know, the biggest thing and takeaway that we get is that support is ongoing as well, though. After a patient passes away, we do follow family members for bereavement support for 13 months. And so we also offer bereavement groups, mailings, and just ongoing support with a social worker if that's what's needed to help those family members.
Yeah, I mean, it's an amazing service. And Bennett, I guess we can shift to you quickly. What you're here to talk about Light of Life. What's going on there? What is Light of Life about?
Yeah, like Katie mentioned, Light of Life is the only fundraising event for the care given by St. Peter's Health Hospice and all the Light of Life gifts that we take in. They're helped. They help us make this wonderful care available to everyone, regardless of their ability to pay. So this is our 26th annual event here in the Helena community. And most people may not realize this, but the tree at the Civic Center with all the lights on it, that is the Light of Life tree. So each of those lights are symbolic in that it could represent in memory of or in living honor of someone. So we take those donations in, and then every year our ceremony is generally it's the first Thursday after the Festival of Trees at the Civic Center. So this year with the calendar falling a little bit later, we're December 12th this year.
Okay.
So December 12th at 5 p.m. is the actual Light of Life program, and then lighting of the tree, and then that tree will remain lit throughout the holiday season.
And then what does, I mean, I know Katie talked a lot about it, but the different services through hospice, but in particular, what does this funding then go to do? Where does the money go?
Yeah, it could be used for a lot of different things, and Katie, feel free to jump in as well, but grief support, it can go to help purchase equipment and also training for the staffs.
Yeah, support groups. You know, if there's family members that need additional help, maybe getting here to see a family member, or, you know, maybe there's a patient that has a special need and we don't have a piece of equipment, we can buy something special for that patient to make sure that they have what they need to be comfortable at end of life. And supplies, and education, community education, grief groups, counseling.
I mean, this is a long list that this event supports. Ben, how long have you been involved with this now?
Yeah, so this will be my second year. I've only been at St. Peter's for a year and a half.
Yeah.
But like I mentioned, this has been going on for a long time, and it's really neat to see the Helena community really support this event. I think last year it was pretty close to bringing in $77,000 to help hospice at St. Peter's.
Yeah, what is it like seeing that? I mean, we talked, I was talking with Glenna Wortman, OB from Family Promise yesterday on the show, and one of the things that we talked about is the fact that there are so many organizations, there are so many valuable fundraisers here in Helena, in the area, and there's never a time where somebody just doesn't show up to one of them, right? There's never a time where an organization goes, you know what, we had this thing and nothing happened. I mean, Helena just constantly steps up.
Yeah, and with this one in particular, we've had a lot of people who've just supported this year after year. But even because of the program, not everyone can make our program on December 12th, but a lot of people participate even out of state because they have a loved one. What's neat about this event is you send in your gift to us, and then we'll send acknowledgement cards to the people that you want notified that they're going to be on the boards at this event and in the program. So whoever you're honoring, whether in living memory of or in honor of, their names will be displayed at this event and then at St. Peter's Health in our main lobby through the remainder of the holiday season. So we get a lot of people even out of state participating, and of course across the state. So it's really a big deal, and we're very fortunate to have all the support, as you mentioned.
Yeah, Bennett McIntyre is who we're chatting with right now from St. Peter's Health. We've also got Katie Barbie in the studio, and we've got a few minutes left, Bennett. December 12th is the Light of Life event. It's at 5 o'clock over at the Civic Center. What actually happens at the event? For somebody that's not been there before, what does that look like?
Yeah, so we have an open house starting at 4 o'clock, and you can walk around the main lobby and look at all the people who are being honored. There is a nice program that probably lasts. We try to keep it short, but it's probably about a 20-minute, you could probably call it a ceremony. There's a candle lighting some brief. Every year we have a spokesperson that talks a little bit about their experience with hospice care here locally. So this year it's Mary Runkle. Last year it was Tim Tilton. And before that it was Ron Waterman. So we're very fortunate to have these people come forward and be willing to share a little bit about their personal stories. So they give about a five minute little talk, and then we have a candle lighting ceremony. And then everyone who would like to go outside and brave the elements, we actually light the tree right then and there, and then that remains lit throughout the holiday season. And then we also provide some refreshments and cookies, and people can chat with each other. So it's a great event. And if you're able to make it, we certainly encourage you to come out and see it.
Yeah, it's going to be a really cool thing. How do people get involved? I mean, how do people, if someone's listening, saying, you know what, that's something I want, that matters to me. That's something I want to help with. What do they do?
Yeah. So, you can certainly call us over the phone, locally, 444-2370, and you can do donations over the phone. Online, you just got to visit sphealth.org, click on the foundation website, and it'll have our Light of Life information right there. And basically what you're doing is you're acknowledging a loved one in your family. And like I said, it could be in living honor of or in memory of. And, you know, suggested donations, you know, usually we say maybe $15 per person you'd like to honor. And that's how we put a symbolic light on the tree. Mm-hmm. And then you just fill out the information. If you'd like us to send cards to other family members acknowledging your gift, we'll certainly do that. Not everyone wants to. And then that's pretty much how you can get involved. And then, like I said, the event itself is on December 12th.
Yeah, super easy. And Katie, we got about a minute and a half left. And I just kind of want to circle around to you to finish this thing out, because this is your world. This is what you've been involved in for nearly a decade now. Mm-hmm. And I just, can you explain to people how important this is? I mean, we've talked about what it goes toward, what the money is going to help, but this is helping to fund a program that really matters to a lot of people.
It does. And it's just, to me, it's just so personal. And, you know, I've had loved ones on hospice services before, and it truly is just amazing to be able to see the care that people receive. And when I was giving that care myself as a nurse, it's a very special time in someone's life, and it's wonderful to be a part of that. And I feel honored that I was able to be a part of that. And I have an amazing team of nurses and social workers and aides and the chaplain, and volunteers. We just have such an amazing team with such big hearts that want to wrap themselves around these families and help take care of them during this time.
Yeah, it's such an amazing thing. And, you know, I can see where it takes a very special person to be able to be part of that team, because this is not just going to a job, right? I mean, this is not get up, you clock in, you clock out. This is bigger than that.
Absolutely. And, you know, we definitely love what we do, and you have to love what you do and to do hospice and to provide the care that people need, because it's hard emotionally for everybody, not just families going through that, because we get attached to people as well. So,
yeah. Katie Barbie, she is the director of hospice out at St. Peter's Health, talking Light of Life, that thing coming up on December 12th. Bennett McIntyre also here today. He's the project manager out there at the St. Peter's Health Foundation. Guys, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you. Have a great Thanksgiving holiday.
Yeah, everybody else out there, have a safe holiday weekend. We're taking a couple days off. We'll see you back here on Monday. I'm Troy Shockley, and that's it for Coffee Break today. Be sure to check us out on iTunes. Head on over. Give us a review there. That's always much appreciated. Or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you back here tomorrow.